Barry, we see it. Thank you very much. Do we have a quorum?
We do, sir.
Well, excellent. Are you ready to roll call or call roll?
I am.
Perfect. If you would, please.
Okay. On the telephone, myself, Sherry Schaefer, Fire Marshal Kyle Green, Mr. Ross Atkinson, Mr. John Kuna, Mr. John Rockwell, Deputy Chief Keith Berrien, A1C Caitlin DeHart, Mr. John Clendenin, Lieutenant Benjamin Endres, Mr. Carl Edwards, Mr. Henry Cole, Mr. Chris Martin, Ms. Erin Calwara, Mr. Robert Reddington, Officer James Nelson. Is there anybody else who's joined us on the phone whose name I have not called? Okay, hearing no one. I know President Anchorage, we have Mr. Paul Fussy, and need everybody else in Anchorage to let me know that they're there.
Oh, hi, Sherry. This is Scott Nelson.
Thank you, Scott.
David Reed. Tim Woodall. Bruce Richter. Nick Panasoff.
Okay, that should complete the roll call.
Sherry, I'm sorry, I couldn't come off mute quick enough. Naomi Ulrich joined with Motorola as well.
Okay, thank you, Naomi.
And thank you very much, Sherry. At this point, we'd like to welcome all the members to the meeting for Wednesday, July 12th. Do we have any introductions of guests or new members? Ben, is this the first meeting that you're attending?
This is not my first in person. I've been to one other. This is my second.
Okay, then I don't need to put you on the spot. Thank you, sir. Moving on to the first agenda item is the review and approval of the June meeting minutes. Hopefully everybody had a chance to review those meeting minutes. Sherry, thank you so very much. You always do an awesome job. We really appreciate it. Are there any questions, comments, or changes to the meeting minutes this time? Hearing none, I move to approve the June meeting minutes. May I get a second, please?
This is Henry Cole. I'll second that motion.
Thank you very much, sir. Floor is open for any comments regarding the meeting minutes. And if not, we can move to close. Hearing no comments, meeting minutes are approved. We go next to the review of the issues and risks log. I did notice there were quite a few changes. Sherry, could you give us the highlights for the issues and risk log, please?
Yes. Under the UC issues, item UC 87, Mr. Scott Nelson was appointed as the new primary representative and approved by a quorum of the Executive Council. That item is now closed. Under the operational issues, those concerning the microwave hops that are at end of life, at the ALMR upgrade project status meeting on June 29th, it was briefed that the equipment was shipping approximately on the 30th, and installation of the four DoD microwave links should be completed by the end of August.
Thank you very much for that update, Sherry. Moving on to the operations management overview, I turn it over to Mr. Fussy. Paul?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Good afternoon, everybody. This is Paul Fussy. So we'll start out with the training. So Mr. Nelson and I have been pretty busy, Dan mostly. So we do have a new video vignette on ALMR inventory maintenance. We also have another video on talk group sharing agreements. That was brought out. We had a couple other questions from some folks on how to do talk groups and sharing. So we did a video on that and how to do the proper forms. And the quarterly live training was postponed until August due to the summer fishing season with everybody out and about. We decided to push it back till next month. That way we'll hopefully have more people to attend on that one. Any questions on the training before I move on to outreach? Hearing none, I will continue. So at outreach, the FY23 membership agreements will remain valid until the FY24 membership is approved and distributed to member agencies to sign a return. We did some wording change on there, so we're still waiting for final approval on that one. ALMR newsletter is scheduled to be sent out on July 15th. We just picked that up from the printer today. And what we've been working on the last week and a half, the SMO and myself and ALMR Health Desk, dispatch centers, please make sure your personnel are completing their annual cybersecurity awareness training, either level one or two, and sending proof of completion, i.e. the certification, to the SMO. This is required under ALMR Privileged User Acceptable Use Procedure 400-7. So we've been reaching out to the dispatch centers around the state, letting them know what is required and also the links on there. So that's been a work in progress with myself and the SMO. Any questions on outreach? Okay, moving on. June document review, risk management plan, technology policy and procedure 300-2, standard channel naming conventional policy and procedure 400-10, operation and maintenance organizational chart, and ALMR concept of operation have all gone through and approved. Now I'll be moving to the June metrics. Now, when Sherry sent those out today, if you will look on the bottom, June data only reflect zone one counts. And I'll go in further and explain. So when we pull the numbers and data from Genesis, what was happening there when the Juniper routers were installed, they weren't completely talking with the Genesis. So what happened when we started pulling the data and the numbers, we noticed a significant drop, as you can see in the chart here. So when we started doing analysis, we realized that Genesis was only picking up zone one. So the numbers that you're looking at now are do not reflect zone two or zone four. Now, since we've discovered this, we're working on a fix. I should have the updated numbers hopefully by next week. Nick and his team have been working on that to fix and reconfig the software on that. So the numbers that you're going to see today are only for zone one. Hopefully by the executive council meeting, we will have the complete updated numbers. So if you start looking zone one only, the calls were 1.6 million. The monthly push-to-talks, as you can see, a lot lower, but keep in mind, it is only zone one. We're right at 2 million. The monthly busies were a little bit higher. We're at 1,290. Keep in mind, that's only 0.007%. And the monthly system performance sites below 3.9s dropped precipitously down. We're at 7. And the numbers coming in, the towers, Cooper Mountain, Diamond Courthouse, Honolulu, Hurricane, Valdez, Willow, and Walcott. And if you look, they're doing a lot of upgrades and maintenance on the brackets, the towers, the antennas, and doing our PMI. Websites, so we're up a little bit with the website. We've been talking to a lot of people with our outreach once again, pointing them to the website. And when we get questions about new radios, what's approved, what's not approved, then what we do is we'll point to the website. We walk them through that one also. Any questions on the metrics? And I apologize. Like I said, we realized when we started pulling the numbers, there was an issue, and Nick and his team are working on reconfiguring. So any questions on the June metrics? So the last one under other items, two things. One, the JVC Kenwood portable, the 8,000. The company did a software upgrade, and due to that, with the reconfiguration of the portable, we did another ATP test with that to make sure it was compatible. It passed the flying colors, so we just completed that last week for the Kenwood BP8000. Also, there is a Motorola patch issue with AIS, which is your archiving interface server. The potential issue impacting audio recording solutions that utilize the Motorola AIS has been recently patched with MotoPatch for Windows. What we're getting from MTUG, from the field, is that audio recording solutions may stop capturing usable audio after the MotoPatch for Windows is applied. The solution from MTUG and Motorola is to immediately reboot the AIS following completion of the patching process, and that will restart services and ensure the audio recording continues. I know it's kind of a mouthful, but MTUG put that out along with Motorola, so we want to make sure people are aware of that. That's all I have for my report, Mr. Chair. Fitting any questions?
Thank you, Mr. Fussy. Are there any questions for Paul? Paul, you're getting off easy today. Let's move on to the next agenda item, which is the System Management Office overview. And I'm going to turn it off over to Nick.
Thank you. Paul pretty much did mention a lot of things that I was going to talk about as well. One addition to that is there is an NTP, which is a network time protocol issue within the system right now. We're working to get that fixed too. It does partly play a role with the Genesis data as well. That's missing. What I ask is if any of you notice out there that your computer times for Motorola, that is, are registering of 2003, let me know and I can get that fixed for you. Outside of that, I've got my guys out doing some PMIs this week, next week. I mean, it's the summer month, so we're going to be hitting them a lot. And I've got nothing else to add.
Thanks, Nick. Is there any questions for the OMO office or SMO office? Sorry. Hearing none, we can move to State of Alaska and Department of Defense. We'll start with you, Scott.
Just a quick update on the $24 million state project. The tower remediation has continued. Those are the ones that are changing out antennas or brackets and resulting in, you know, 4 to 6 to sometimes longer hour outages. So appreciate the understanding as that work continues. Hopefully that'll be wrapped up this summer and we'll be done with what we can do for antennas, and then everything else would be indoors, and the Juniper router being the next big impacting part of the puzzle that we don't have Juniper router shipped and allocated to us officially yet, but that will be needed in order to turn over to TDMA. So Motorola has been up doing a bunch of the link testing. So the state's backhaul has that we've configured, they're testing the circuits through that to make sure they'll pass traffic according to the specs. And so far that has been going fairly well. Just one site had an issue and we think there was a problem with the microwave at the time. So we think we know why that didn't pass. We still have a couple power lines out. We've had people linemen there twice working on it, and it's still not fixed. So we've kind of got 3 power lines that are in rough shape. 2 of them are failed, and another is in need of some maintenance that we've got. Got people on contract to try to go do something about. we're having a tough time even getting contract support to do a lot of the work that we are unable to do. Just in the case of electricity, we're not certified or licensed to be able to touch that type of stuff. So unfortunately, just there's not a lot of people out in the commercial sector that are available to do that type of work either. So kind of puts us in a tough spot when these things break. We will let you know if that causes any other major problems. We did have Saddle Mountain and Lena Point down, I think it was last Monday, for much of the day, and that was because the generator stopped. And luckily our friends, and I'd like to just publicly thank the Juneau Police Department for having helped us a couple of times with escorting either the contractors to work on that power line down there or to fly up to the site and actually do the refueling of that generator for us, that has kept Saddle and Lena online for the last couple of months. Because we do not have any staff in the southeast at the moment and are actively still trying to fill the one position down there. So, but even if we fill the one person can't refuel sites by themselves. It's a couple-person job. So definitely need to get the power line fixed or we're going to have longer-term problems that we've got to figure out how to deal with. So that's pretty much everything I got, unless anybody's got any questions for me.
Any questions for Scott? Thank you, Mr. Stormo. I wasn't sure if I heard Mr. Woodall online. Tim, are you here?
I am here, yes.
Excellent. Update from Tim.
All right. At the end of last month, beginning of June, the ATO, Authority to Operate, was extended. It was not approved in full as in an interim status. But those agencies who need documentation with regard to the authority to operate, please contact me and I will get you a copy of the interim ATO letter, which is set for about 90 days. And there's a POAM to resolve some of the issues that the authorizing official has with regard to some of the controls, capabilities or associated with controls. So we'll get that resolved and then hopefully move that on to a full ATO. Secondarily, we are upgrading the TAN and TAS. We got the funding to do that, so Motorola is moving forward out on that. They were out this week and reviewed both the TAN and TAS, and that will be done. We will be moving the TAN from Eielson back down to J-Bear. And we're looking at a consolidation of that equipment into, from the comm shelter perspective, into a single shelter to save money. And finally, the DOD and the state, the primary agencies involved fiduciarily and maintaining the infrastructure, are participating in a program called the Community Partnership Program, according to what Congress authorizes, that where federal, state, and local government agencies can operate together under a common contract for shared services. We fall under that umbrella with our relationship with the state in the contracting realm. That agreement is in coordination. It's been to the national level. It's back down. As all things in the bureaucracy, it moves very slowly. I think it's over in the wing at this point, moving through that coordination process. One important thing in the agreement is that we will eventually not directly utilize the state's contract. We will utilize the terms and conditions of the state's contract, and we will execute a contract through the federal acquisition regulations under the through the FAR under DoD contracting, which should make invoicing and paying for contract services, what I should say, will normalize that for the FM offices, for the financial management offices that have to pay for those services. So that should be helpful. Hopefully that will move along through coordination, and we can move it after it gets the internal DoD coordination, and it'll move over to the state and to the municipality, who is also a infrastructure owner partner in that process. Moving slow, but it is moving. That's all I have, unless anyone has any questions.
Thank you, Tim. Any questions for Tim? Hearing none, we can go to the user council representative updates. We can start with Mr. Call at DOT.
Hi, John. This is Henry. I don't have anything to report, and I think I'm actually going to have to jump off the call in a second here. I'll turn it over to John Clendenin if he has anything for the department.
Thank you, sir. John, anything for DOT?
Okay, I think I'm back on. Can you hear me?
We can, thank you.
Yeah, I think I was on last month. I know Henry made an update as far as our budget on the radios, and it turns out that was not approved by legislature. So we are not where we thought we'd be with getting an upgrade on radios. I think that's end of report for that.
Well, thank you very much, sir. And we're deeply disappointed. We can move on to DPS, and I'm going to turn it over to Ben. Any updates, Mr. Andes?
No real updates. We're continuing to issue out APX 6000. Just got the batch of new radios, and we're working on our radio ask for the next budget cycle.
Thank you very much. All others, which would be Mr. Nelson, Scott? Any updates?
No, I have nothing new for all others.
Okay, thank you. Any questions for any of the people that we've just mentioned? If not, we can go to the DoD components. We have someone from U.S. Army Installations. Is Mr. Williams on? Not seeing Mr. Williams. We can go to J-Bear. Any updates?
This is Emily Hart. Oops, sorry.
Yes,
nothing,
ma'am.
Nothing new to report. Sorry about that.
Oh, no. Thank you so very much. I appreciate that. And Eielson.
Nothing from Eielson.
How about any of the non-DOD federal partners?
Nothing from DOI. This is Rob.
Thanks, Rob. Hearing none, and we can move to the last, which is a municipal component.
Keith Berry, Municipalities North. Nothing to report today.
Oh, thank you, Keith. And then, Keith, while I've got you on, are you going to be joining us Tuesday?
For what?
For the FirstNet.
I don't know what it's about, but...
Oh, I'll bring it up in new business. Thank you very much. I thought that I already had some questions from you. Anyway... we can move on to new business. The only thing that has been brought up to me as far as adding new business is a report from CISA. I turn it over to Bruce.
Okay, thank you for that, John. Bruce Richter from Department of Homeland Security, CISA. We're in the middle of the SAFECOM nationwide survey. It's a little bit of a national effort similar to, but smaller than the census. Last time we did this survey was 2018. And so you can think of all the things that have changed in the whole world of emergency communications in your agency since 2018. And we're trying to get the ground truth of what is going on across the country. So this is the chance to participate in the SAFECOM National Survey. Any agency or organization with a public safety-related mission or involved in emergency communications is encouraged to take the survey. So far, we have 13 completed surveys back from Alaska agencies. And I want to thank everybody that has taken the time and the effort to do that. We've got 14 more agencies that got the email with the link and at least opened it and started the survey. Maybe they had to go out on a call or maybe they got distracted. But I'd like to get those. And then if you're on this call today and have any interest at all, you can go to CISA.gov SAFECOM. And you'll find the information there, or you can get a hold of me, Bruce.Richter at CISA.DHS.gov, and I'll help you get an individual link for your agency sent to you. But it's really pretty easy process. Yesterday, I was on the phone with a guy from Washington Department of Corrections who was interested. We set him up to get the link, and by half an hour later, he had completed the survey. And my son's a volunteer firefighter up at Chena Goldstream up outside of Fairbanks, and he was able to work with his battalion chief and get that survey completed. So it's easy to do if you can block out a half an hour of your time to do it. And I know that's asking a lot during summer in Alaska, but it hasn't been the best summer, so maybe you got some time. And that is my report, please. I gave the specific agency listings to Sherry to include in the minutes. And again, I want to thank everybody that has taken the time to participate in this survey.
Thank you very much, Bruce. Does anybody have any questions for Bruce while we've got him on? Hearing none, I do have a couple things that I would like to bring up, if I may. The first one is the Deputy Commissioner of Department of Public Safety has brought to my attention a couple what he's calling life safety concerns and issues. One of them is some of the area north of Kenai. And I know Scott's working on doing the Smart Connect. I guess there's an issue still getting it through the FedRAMP. I don't know if there's anybody online that has any insight to the FedRAMP process and could possibly find out where it is or not. And the other issue is also a life safety issue, which is the Fairbanks Courthouse. The radio system is not able to get through the steel and concrete inside the courthouse. And so we asked for the APSCS group to come up with some suggestions, and the best suggestion that they've come up with is installing a BDA. The Deputy Commissioner of Public Safety would like me to just ask if there are any problems with us moving forward with the purchase of a BDA and installation of a BDA up in the Fairbanks Courthouse. And in fact, he had kind of like a little endorsement from this group. So I'm not asking for a vote at this time or for this issue, but I would like, if there's any concerns for us to install a BDA up in the courthouse, for anybody to bring it up now.
John, this is Ben. Is a BDA a repeater that we're talking
about? In large terms, yeah. It's just enhancer repeater. And if you want more detail, I can bring Scott Stormo back on to get into the nitty gritty. Todd or Nick, you want to?
Kyle Green here.
Oh. Yes, sir.
Hey, John. Kyle Green here, Municipalities North. Hey, such BDA installation should be run through the Fairbanks Fire Department's Fire Marshal's office. So that way, would that BDA be available to other area first responders to respond to other needs, emergency needs at the courthouse?
Yes, sir. And that's why we're looking at that technology, because it just enhances the footprint of the ALMR groups. You know, we have had people say, well, why don't you just put a PERSNET repeater or something, you know, and what we'd like to do is make sure that whoever's responding, whether it's fire, police, troopers, or the court service officers inside the courthouse, are able to still talk on their normal talk groups. So, yes, sir. And
okay,
as far
awesome.
As, oh, yeah.
Sorry.
Oh, I'm just saying as far as through fire, we'll definitely do that.
Okay, awesome. Yeah, it is a permittable thing through the Fire Marshal's office there in Fairbanks Fire Department as they keep track of those systems. There is some inspection, testing, and maintenance requirements for those things on an annual basis. Mm-hmm. A couple weeks ago, probably a month ago now, my memory is fleeting me, I participated in a presentation to the FirstNet Authority Board. They were it was an advocacy board, and to my surprise, the issue with FedRAMP approval is actually a nationwide hindrance that the FirstNet Authority Board is making note of and doing what advocacy they can on their end to help encourage further advancements with FedRAMP. If I can insert an opinion here, my personal opinion, professional opinion, it's absolutely important that those security things are taken care of. And so I'm willing to be patient, as it is slowing things up for university fire departments, development in comms using FirstNet, wireless, even just Wi-Fi, and being able to use that and utilize that on the LMR. So, thank you.
Thank you, sir. And then since we're on the topic of FirstNet, FirstNet is going to have a response operation demo. They're calling it a ROG, or ROD. And the one in Anchorage is scheduled for Tuesday, July 18th. From 1 o'clock to 4 o'clock at the Alaska State Crime Lab, and that's at 4805 Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. In Anchorage. That's where they're going to be bringing out some of their toys. We'll be having our CRD out there for display, and they'll be putting some type of a Colt or deployable to demo, and then giving different demos and a kind of a show and tell on the response operations infrastructure that they have. Before that, and that's one of the things that I've asked, if anybody's really interested in the FirstNet five-year plan, 8:30 a.m., again, at the Alaska State Crime Lab, we're going to be working on the next five-year rollout for FirstNet. This is where we're going to have FirstNet and AT&T and me as the state of Alaska single point of contact, work through some of the coverage areas, issues, and problems for the state of Alaska. I invite anybody who would like to attend. I would appreciate if you let me know if you're gonna be there. But that's, again, Anchorage Crime Lab. And then on the 19th, they're gonna be doing, again, that response operations demo in Juneau. And let me see, where is it? In Juneau, it is scheduled for the Juneau Airport. And I don't know who the point of contact is for that, but they're going to be doing that response operations demo, both in Anchorage and in Juneau, both of them 1 o'clock p.m. to 4 p.m. Anything else in new business?
Hi, John. This is Sherry.
Yes, ma'am.
A couple things that came up. On the website, we do have the information about SafeCom National Survey. We do have the information about the FirstNet ROG. We have a calendar events out there now. If you have something that's going on that is of interest to public safety agencies in Alaska, You're welcome to send us the information on it. We will post it out there. For those of you that don't know the calendars out there on the website, please go out and look at it, see what's out there. And with regard to the BDA at the Fairbanks Courthouse, we will need a system change request for that if it goes forward. That's it for me.
Yes, ma'am. And thank you very much, Sherry. As always, we appreciate you. Anything else from anybody else?
John, Bruce Richter, one more time. I just wanted to extend my appreciation to FirstNet for the support they provided to North Slope Borough Police Department over their recent undersea ice scour fiber cut. FirstNet was up there within 48 hours, and they put a deployable up that gave a bubble of voice and text coverage for any FirstNet user around the North Slope Borough Police Department. I was very impressed with that kind of fast response.
I concur, Bruce. Thank you very much. Anything else? Any comments or questions from the group?
Hey, John, Kyle Green again here from Municipalities North.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I just wanted to say that I'll be down in Anchorage on Tuesday showcasing Command 12. We've installed FirstNet SiCard user equipment in that vehicle, which with the setup that we have, I'm able to show connectivity status and strength of connectivity on the road system, of course, using both the high-powered user equipment and then regular cellular connection, commercial cellular connection. And I can show that mapping. I'll be happy to show that off and show a case use or a case demonstration of a drive I took through the Girdwood area and Turnagain Arm and the Turnagain Pass, as well as some other areas around Alaska I think would be of interest. And I will, of course, be there at 8:30 to participate in the discussion and look forward to meeting anybody else that want to come down and see the technology we've installed in C12. Looking forward to meeting you all. Thank you.
Excellent. Thank you very much, sir. Anything else? Our next meetings are currently scheduled for August 2nd and September 6th. I will move to adjourn, and if I can get a second. Thank you, Keith. I appreciate that. And then we are adjourned.